Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I have 3 minutes. People have been taking 15 minutes. So if you have to be fair and, you know, provide a level playing field. But I'm not going to take 15 minutes. I'm going to take three to five minutes. Having said that, let me respond to your question by speaking about the Indian experience, which is worth emulating as well as using it across the world. India has has taken milestone steps in developing financial inclusion, financial literacy, and digital literacy alongside that since 2014, since the arrival of the new government in India. Not that it was not happening in the past as well, but the kind of thrust which took place is something which is worth speaking about. And how can we do that? Let me, reminding me of another preceding speaker who used three alphabets. Let me use three alphabets to consume my 3 minutes. The first minute is on the ecosystem that we have. First of all, we have a national identity card, which is called Aadhaar. That is the basis for all financial inclusion, including other social inclusion measures that the government uses at both the union level as well as the federal level and the local level as well. That has helped to create a kind of very strong base as such. Riding on that, what the government has done is to launch a trinity of what's called Jan Dhan Yojana, direct benefits transfer. So with the result that all benefits which are accrued, which are to be given to the people in India, and particularly poor people, is by opening a bank account. Now, everybody has been authorized to open a bank account without the kind of earlier prescription that you have to have a minimum balance of so much. Zero balance also is allowed for any citizen to open a bank account. So that was one very important barrier which was removed. Now, let's open the system for all that. So all benefits are being transferred to consumers as well as citizens through this scheme. And as I said, I mean, bank accounts have been opened. So the first minute on the ecosystem, which is what has been established, this is worth emulating across the world, developing world particularly, including developed world. The second E is on empowerment. Now, all our financial institutions, whether it's the monetary regulator, Reserve Bank of India, or the Securities Exchange Board of India, or the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, and so on, all have established independent funds. These funds are independent from the Treasury. That means they are not subject to that annual cycle of budgets. They are perpetual funds. Now, the interesting part, and this is something which people should note, these funds have been built up from unclaimed deposits or unclaimed dividends or unclaimed revenues. The person has died or has moved on, has lost it, and so on. That is something which we have also created a consumer welfare fund, which Mr. Rohit Kumar Singh forgot to mention in his excellent speech yesterday. But even the consumer welfare fund is something. Now, what I'm saying is that these funds have been built up in a very unique manner without burdening the taxpayer. And these are things which any country, any developing country can, you know, use and take from help from us. Now, so you have a funding mechanism with the result that, you know, a lot of non-government organizations, including voluntary consumer organizations, use those funds in order to spread financial literacy as well as financial inclusion. We are doing that ourselves. Now, at the local level, even bank branches and other institutions, whether they are government, local government level, all are engaged in expanding financial literacy. Let me come to the third minute, Madam Chair. Enablers. Now, what are the enablers? First is a massive digitization exercise which has been taking place and project in India since the last 20 or 25 years. That every village has an e-kiosk to help a consumer to access any service, whether you have to apply for a passport or a ration card or what have you, driving license, everything possible can be done at the village level through this technological setup, which is again in the hands of young entrepreneurs who have created jobs also at the same time, livelihoods as well. It's not being run by the government, they are being run by private sector. And that has helped to improve digital literacy in the sense that people have started understanding what is important. And therefore, now digital literacy is extremely important because more and more financial instruments are now becoming digitized. So, I mean, ITU, for example, which is just around the corner, I was having a meeting with them and we've been working with ITU on digital financial inclusion. You know, the payment system, et cetera, et cetera. And how does it operate? How do you create those kind of safeguards? And the question which they asked, Teresa, this is for you, is which branch of the government of, which branch of the UNCTAD is working on this? I said, I suppose consumer protection and the, is the best possible branch to work on this with the ITU in terms of digital financial inclusion, which is now becoming a big, in a big way. Now, the second enabler which I have spoken about already are the local kiosks. Kiosks are like shops, as I said. Then we also have local depositor protection laws. I mean, when in terms of, you know, how do you create a kind of enabling system that there is a fear in the market that you can't fool the consumer, particularly illiterate consumers, and walk away with their money, which has happened in many cases. Many big scandals have been broken, but at the same time, there is a legislation which is being handled by the police department and not by the civil administration, so that there is, you know, it is treated as a criminal offense in case you run away with the depositor's money. Now, with that, Madam Chair, let me conclude, and I hope you will give me a prize for concluding well within the time, as against people going on for lengths and talking about that institution. A little bit about CUTS. We are a 40-year-old institution with six overseas centers, including one in Geneva, and we work on a wide bandwidth of issues with UNCTAD on in various areas. Particularly, we are members of the e-trade initiative of UNCTAD. We work with the consumer protection branch. We work with the trade branch, as well as many other branches. So this is just a bit of introduction I thought I must not miss before I conclude. Thank you.